Good Friday. Today is October the 24th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to take some time today as we look out in the backyard and garden and talk about a particular type of aphid, that being the beach blight aphid, and some unique characteristics that this particular one has, especially as they grow in numbers. We'll have all the details on their interesting behavior and what they do to plants after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants. Simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to take some time this Friday morning as we look out in the backyard and garden and talk about a type of aphid that are still able to be seen this time of year. We're talking about the beach blight aphids. They've been with us really all growing season, gradually increasing in numbers, and they spew out the processed sap of American beech. That's their primary host, but they become most obvious in late summer and early fall as their colonies reach the maximum size. Now, large numbers of these native aphids will gather in prominent groups called colonies. The colonies may include thousands of aphid nymphs that will exude tufts of white wool-like filament from their posterior end. They look like basically they've got cotton balls on their rumps, and collectively then the cotton material makes the colonies look like a jumble of a white fluffy linen-type material that lines the twigs and branches of the American beech. Large colonies will carry over onto the stems and the leaves. Now, beech blight aphids have three lines of defense against predators and parasitoids. That white woolly coat that they have, that cottony mass, serves as its first line of defense. It actually hides their soft bodies beneath that dense mass of sort of waxy filaments. It's speculated that the movement of the beach blight aphid serves as the second line of defense by distracting or dissuading predators and parasitoids from focusing on single individuals because it looks like one large mass. The defense strategies against predators that involve the collective movement of the potential prey are well documented in other animals. Now, a paper published in 2001 described a more ominous third line of defense applied by the beach blight aphid nymphs. The nymphs are highly aggressive against predators, and they will mass attack using their stiletto-like mouthparts to inflict serious damage to the assailants. Now, aggressively attacking predators is uncommon behavior for most aphids. In response to a threat, aphids typically will emit a chemical message called an alarm pheromone, and that usually causes the recipients to sort of run away. Most aphids are on the receiving end of animal aggression, serving as a food for a wide range of predators. Now, from a defensive mechanism, the beach blight aphid is not the only woolly aphid that swarms threats. The sugarcane woolly aphid found in Southeast Asia also attacks predators and parasitoids. A paper that was published back in 1989 showed the aphids emit an alarm pheromone, causing early and mid-instar nymphs to behave as soldiers, basically assaulting the threat. However, that same pheromone causes late-instar nymphs and adults to flee. In other words, they will send the young ones to fight, and then the adults will run away. Now, another way to detect the beach blight aphid is if you look sort of underneath where the colonies are. A common feature of beach blight aphids is the appearance of a weird-looking mound of fungal growth beneath the aphid colonies, and the accretions are linked to copious amounts of honeydew that are excreted by those aphids. Like many other sap-sucking insects, such as soft scales, aphids will insert those piercing, sucking mouthparts into the phloem vessels. They tap the plant sap to acquire both the carbohydrates, which provide energy, and the amino acids, which are those building blocks for proteins and enzymes, but the phloem sap holds only trace amounts of amino acids compared to the vast amount of the dissolved carbohydrates, which means they have to process a lot of quantity of sap to extract the exact amounts of amino acids they need, and then they just discharge that excess sugar-rich liquid, and that is the honeydew, which then is what comes and causes that fungal mass to be developed. Beach blight aphids are prolific producers of honeydew. Even though the aphids are usually confined to just a few branches, it's common for sidewalks, parked cars, outdoor furniture, anything beneath their gathering to become covered in that sticky goo. As a result, that's where we get that fungal growth of the sooty mold that begins. And like most sooty molds fungi, it grows a dense black sort of fuzzy mat on top of the honeydew. However, over time, that mat thickens into more of a brownish furry mass. The sooty mold is commonly found blackening the leaves and the understory plants as well as the lower trunks of infested trees, where it appears to be more of a bluish blackish spotting patches of sooty mold beneath American beech trees. It's a good way to detect beech blight aphids aphid colonies. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. Now, if your thoughts are on pumpkins made into pies, a cooperative extension expert says there are many ways to prepare it and many nutritional benefits for consuming it. USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
You may be familiar with the term superfood. You know, food rich in nutrients such as antioxidants, omega-3 fatty acids, etc., that can contribute to improved health. Probably what comes to mind is various fruits and vegetables, fish, among other foods. But with this being fall, perhaps a superfood you may not consider or even know about is pumpkin?
If you're someone who really, really enjoys cooking, you can buy pumpkin when it's fresh in the fall and prepare it easily to be frozen so that you can use it throughout the year.
And Carol Cannell of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System adds processed pumpkin is available year-round in supermarkets and retailers. When it comes to nutrition,
it's really quite nutrient dense, which just means that it packs a lot of nutrients like vitamins and minerals for every calorie that it contributes to the diet.
Among pumpkin's many key nutrients,
a cup of the canned pumpkin with no added salt provides only about 83 calories, but it's packed with things like dietary fiber. It's a really good source of the mineral potassium, which is an important mineral in blood pressure regulation and muscle contractions. It's high in vitamin A, which is good for vision as well as immunity, and it also provides minerals like iron, zinc, and magnesium, which are really important in things like red blood cell production and wound healing. And magnesium is important in muscle relaxation.
In addition,
it's low in fat, naturally, before we add lots of things to it. So what you find in the produce stands, fresh pumpkin as well as canned pumpkin, is a low-fat product. And it's also a good source of vitamin K, which is an important vitamin for blood clotting and bone health.
Now you may be thinking, that's an awful lot of pumpkin pie to eat. Oh, and pumpkin spiced anything that doesn't have pumpkin doesn't count. Connell reminds us pumpkin is a versatile fruit with many ways to prepare it. And yes, I said fruit.
It's actually a fruit because it grows from a flower that has to be pollinated by pollinating insects like bees.
So back to the various methods of cooking, preparing, and enjoying pumpkin, minus adding lots of fat and sugar.
Fresh pumpkin can be peeled and deseeded and cubed and then roasted with other vegetables like bell peppers or mushrooms or onions for a savory type of dish that's really, really quite good with things like pork chops and baked chicken and that sort of thing. If you don't have time to cook fresh pumpkin, you can always buy the canned or the pureed pumpkin, and it has many uses too. You can make warm, cozy, fall-type cream soups with pumpkin. You can make pumpkin bread or muffins or even pumpkin smoothie for breakfast to get the nutritional benefits of pumpkin that way as well.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.